From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
I got to tell you something, folks. I'm on Twitter quite a bit in the commercial breaks. But yeah, I would caution you, if you're going to go on Tom Fitton's Twitter feed, be prepared to get riled up, because he's always writing something. He always has the inside scoop. And a lot of the stuff, the craziness that he uncovers in the deep state swamp, it's just mind-blowing. Tom Fitton on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. By the way, he's got a brand-new book coming out, and you got to pre-order it right now on Amazon, A Republic Under Assault, The Left's Ongoing Attack on American Freedom. Tom, I don't know how you do it, man. You're hitting the gym. You're breaking all these stories, writing books, saving America. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for the good word, Todd. You know, look, I'm just like everyone else. I'm outraged about what we're seeing, and I'm blessed to be at Judicial Watch where we can do something about it.
No, I am too, Tom, and I know that you have been at the forefront of this effort along with us on this, you know, battling this cancel culture mob out there. Just unbelievable how rapidly that has progressed over just the past couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a revolutionary period. In my view, this is a communist revolution that's attacking the foundations of our republic, as the book notes. We came up with the title before the current insurrection, but we're in an awful time now, in an awful situation, and our republic is under attack. And individuals who stand up in corporations or in schools or, you know, just in their social media, they face being censored, fired, or worse. And now the government that protects us is under assault, where we have these radical communist leftists talk about undoing our republic, throwing out the Constitution, dismantling the system, as Congresswoman said. Very dangerous times.
You know, just in the last segment, we had Christopher Rufo on the program talking about these workshops that white people had to take in Seattle, Washington, basically making them confess their, you know, their sins as a white person. Yesterday, one of our listeners, Tom, works for one of the railroads, Union Pacific, and they all had to take a white privilege class. I mean, this is just, it's mind-numbing to see this kind of blatant racism out there directed at people simply because of the color of their skin.
Well, in those diversity workshops and other things, they've been out there. You know, Todd, you've been covering this more so than many others. You know, this has been going on for years. And you remember back in the day when these political speech codes came up, the media was very critical of them. The left had no problem. They just continued doing it. They didn't care about the bad press. And it just got worse and worse. And now we have our nation being ripped apart by it.
Tom, where do you see all of this going? I mean, you did the research for the book. How do we stop this, or can we stop this?
Well, we have to recognize the threat. I mean, we've got this insurrection. It's got to be addressed through law and order, through the rule of law. But we also have to recognize what's been going on in other elements of our society, at least parts of the republic. Our borders have been under attack. The effort to overthrow the president was an assault on the constitutional republic as well. You saw elements of that even with the attack on the Senate over Kavanaugh, where they had violent demonstrations and intimidation to try to get the Senate to vote a particular way. We have our election systems under assault, trying to blow up the system with millions of ballots in the mail and voter ID, ballot harvesting, which would allow the violent left that's now rampaging in our streets to collect ballots, and you know how that will turn out. So we've got these major issues between the borders, the attack on the presidency, which is about the attack on our constitutional republic, and of course the assault on our election systems. You know, that's That's how we function as a democracy. If we don't have clean elections, you know, everything, all these policy discussions are kind of just pro forma, because if the system's rigged, our ability to govern ourselves is completely decimated.
And Tom, you talk about this perfect storm. I mean, when you look at what they have done to our education system under our very noses, and I mean, we are seeing the product of that in the streets, marching, hating America, burning the flags, toppling the statues. And that is a long way from being fixed or addressed. So I'm really curious what the next couple of years is going to look like here in this country.
Well, our republic is on the brink, Todd, and I hope we have a country in a few years. This is a revolutionary period, and I fear that our politicians are supine and are unable or unwilling or frankly allied with the revolutionaries. And so if these folks are not confronted, it doesn't take much for us to lose our system.
And meanwhile, while that is happening, and you know, you've got the germ investigation, I saw your tweet from just a little while ago. What's taken so long? We've been sitting here waiting for all of this. What's going on there?
Well, you know, the Republican relies on the fact that no one's above the law, and it looks like the Obama gang's above the law. You know, Durham was appointed in April of last year. So what is that now, 16 months? Not one prosecution. Compare and contrast with Mueller. I think he had a prosecution within the first 2 or 3 months. So this is just news of just further confirmation that the Justice Department, it's all about getting him, not getting them, meaning his persecutors, the president's persecutors.
Unbelievable. And Tom, I just, you know, can't say this enough. You know, thank you for the incredible work you are doing. You know, you're holding their feet to the fire. And honestly, I think you're also paving the way for conservative media to cover the story and doing a brilliant job of that in the process.
Yeah, I think it's important we highlight what the issues are and expose what the truth is. And so that, you know, the NBCs of the world and CNN doesn't want to talk about what we're uncovering. But, you know, Todd, there is a thirst for facts, news,
Absolutely.
And information from the populace. And they know they're not getting it from the lamestream media.
Well, Tom, I'm so excited. I cannot wait to read this book. Folks, you can pre-order it right now wherever you get your books, A Republic Under Assault. Tom, where can folks go to get more information about you and Judicial Watch?
Well, we're online at judicialwatch.org. We're on Facebook still, on Twitter at Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch. So we're all over. And people should read the material we're uncovering and support our work so we can do more of it.
All right, Tom, we're going to have to leave it there. Tom Fitton, Judicial Watch. Tom, congrats on the new book.
Thank you very much, Todd. Appreciate the coverage.
All right. Good man right there, folks. And I would encourage you, follow his Twitter feed. I don't know if he's on Parler. He may be on Parler. I just joined up a couple of days ago over there, and it's a great platform. So far, so good. All right. Look, I know a lot of you folks on hold wanting to weigh in. We're going to open up the phone lines. Got to take a break first. When we come back, though, your calls, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Hey, fellas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm doing tonight after the or right after the show?
Well, I would say eating barbecue, but with all the new rules and stuff.
No, I'm making biscuits. I got a biscuit recipe.
Oh, nice.
And I'm excited about this.
Getting a good biscuit recipe is always an exciting time.
It's the next best thing to getting married, fellas.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, if you're looking for barbecue, Todd, and you don't want to go out to eat, I actually saw a YouTube video yesterday of somebody who found a way to smoke things, including ribs, using a gas grill.
Get out.
Yeah.
That's heresy.
It looked really cool. I want to try it.
If you don't have hickory, I don't know about that.
But you can use wood. You can use wood chips. You lay them over the burners.
Well, I'm excited about this. I will give you guys a full report in the morning.
I'm excited.
What are you going to put on the biscuits?
Buttermilk biscuits or buttermilk biscuits. Got to get a big old dollop of butter.
Right.
Maybe a little, I don't know, strawberry jam. I'm a Smucker's guy, but...
I always like cheese. A good cheese biscuit is good.
Mm-hmm. Cheese biscuit? I've never had cheese.
Yeah, just cut it in half, put your little slice of cheese in between it.
Yeah. Oh, now, fellas.
That and
cheese. Fellas. Or... Mm-hmm. You can have a tomato sandwich on Wonder Bread. That's white bread. Nothing racist. It's just good white bread.
Yes, sir.
I have nothing against whole wheat. I just like white bread. Get yourself a biscuit. Slather it with a little Duke's mayonnaise, a little salt and pepper on that Mississippi red tomato, and put that tomato right smack in the middle of the biscuit. And then you put the top on the biscuit. You got yourself a biscuit tomato sandwich.
Mm. Wow. That's,
good eating right there.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. You know, as much as we are, I think we're a pretty learned radio show here, guys. One of the things that we're trying to do is really educate the next generation. You know, a lot of young people don't know anything about Andy Griffith's show. They don't know anything about tomato biscuits. They don't know much about, fried chicken or Jerry Clower. I love Jerry Clower. Yazoo City. Avery, have you heard about Jerry Clower?
No, I have not.
Oh, disappointed.
It just breaks my heart.
I know who Jerry Clower is, Todd. My parents listened to him on the radio all the time growing up, so I am well versed.
Caleb, take control of the show. I gotta compose myself. All right, you know what we're gonna do before the end of the show? I'm gonna play you some Jerry Clower, Avery.
Okay. All right.
So you can educate yourself about again, how can you be a proud American if you don't know about Jerry Clower and Andy Griffith and John Wayne?
Well, see, I know about the last two, of course.
It's a process. It's a process.
He bats about 400 on these. It's not a great percentage.
Yeah. No, not really. But if it's not Yoda, he doesn't care. I understand. Cares he not? Anyway, let's go to Lynch. Did I do that right? I don't think I did. That was a bad joke.
3 out of 10.
My apologies. All right, let's go to Lynchburg, Virginia. Lisa, WLVA, awesome radio station. Hi, Lisa. What's going on?
You have just messed with my mind. Yesterday, I was making fresh strawberry preserves, the frozen kind. If you haven't had that, you haven't lived. You need to give me your address so I can send you the recipe.
Uh-oh.
Talk to me, Lisa. Having fresh strawberries. It's fabulous.
Now, Lisa, I have some news for you.
Okay.
So hold on to the strawberries. We're going to be doing our show in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Well, tell Jerry that I can come.
All right. Well, you can
give you
swing
my name.
On over.
No, I will bring you some strawberry preserves.
Don't mess around with me now. We're talking about strawberry preserves, Lisa.
I know, and I had something so serious to say, and you just so distracted me.
I really do have
something very, very serious to say. Ruth was just fabulous. She got my mind to just going over so many things. I'm glad I had to wait because I have not known what I'm going to say. But what I'm going to say is, when things happen, it happens in the spirit first. And that means in the church. And God has been explaining to me that all of this is going on because the church has allowed it. If you think back, we had problems in the church back in the 80s, and they opened a door to lots of evil. And that's why we're seeing it in the government, because the church has given permission. We are living in a time like Jesus because we've got the ministers acting like Pharisees and scribes. They want to look after their own jobs. They want to lay low with the government so that the government will not come after them. And therefore, and we've elected pastors that would tickle our ears. We've elected deacons and people like that because they were professionals or something, not necessarily that they were prayer warriors. But really, we have opened up all of this because of the church. And the church is just AWOL. I mean, I talked to my sister over the weekend, and I said, I've been thinking about a lot of things. I said, I remember going to Bible school, and we prayed allegiance to the American flag, to the Christian flag and the Bible. And she said, you know, that's interesting. I always tell her things, and she said, it's interesting. And I said, did they do that at your church this week? Because that's the church I grew up in. And she said, no. She said, you know, my minister just stood there with his arms by his side when we were putting our arms on our, you know, our hands on our heart. And I said, well, I think you ought to go talk to him. She said, you're just starting trouble. And then she told me that she had watched this little church that's up the street from her. And she said, it's interesting that you said they had a Christian flag. I bet there are people in the church who don't even know there's a Christian flag.
Well, I suspect you may be right there, Lisa. And that has been my concern. You know, I wrote about this in Culture Jihad. I wrote about it in Godless America, that the church is supposed to be salt and light, but unfortunately the church is on a sodium-free diet.
Right.
And when that happens, you get chaos in the culture. And that's honestly, I think it is as simple as that. And if you want to know why, you know, it's and then when they shut down the churches for the virus, Lisa, it was like they just poured gasoline on the fire. And here we are.
Well, listen, I bought your book yesterday.
Is that right?
Listen, what you read, I tuned in sort of late, and you were reading, well, a few minutes after you started, and you were reading stuff out of it. And I called Avery and I said, where is he getting that? And Avery said, it's from his book. So I called them and got it to Barnes & Noble yesterday, and I can't wait to read it. I mean, I was so taken with what you were saying. It just shook me. I said, this is what people need to hear. And, you know, you were having Tom Fitton on, and we supported them back in the time of Clinton because it was, I think maybe somebody else was in charge then. But, you know, it's nice to get information, and I thank God for all these people who are collecting all this stuff. But we've got to get back to God, and some of the ministers have got to wake up, or they're going to be responsible for all this stuff. And two, also, if they don't get back to it, I do not think that the government is going to charge all these people that have done all these things. And if we don't start taking up for Donald Trump, and if the Republicans don't come out and stand behind him like the Democrats do when they do all that stupid stuff. I even called, in fact, it's interesting, while I was waiting on you, my congressperson called me, and I'm going to call him right back because I called and fussed about some things. And if the ministers don't wake up, I don't think we have a prayer. And, of course, Glenn Beck is trying to get people to enter into the covenant.
Yeah. And I look, yeah, and I, Lisa, I hate to cut you off, but we're about to be cut off by the news break here, so we're going to have to let you go. But I think that it is as simple as people getting back to church, getting back to the Word of God, opening up that Bible, reading the Bible together as a family. What was it Ronald Reagan said? American success, it starts around the kitchen table. We've got to get back to the roots, folks. It's all about getting back to the roots. Lisa, thank you. Can't wait to have those strawberry preserves. All right, we got to take a break. I'm going to play some Jerry Clower. You know why? Because we can. That's the best Jerry Clower impression I got. You know, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You know, we were talking to the last break. One of the sad things here is, and we, you know, this show is fairly organic. I mean, we talk about the big crazy stuff of the day, but I'm an odd duck, so I don't mind talking about, you know, Russia collusion hoax, and then we're talking about a good fried chicken and biscuit recipe. That kind of makes the show a little bit quirky. And honest to goodness, I think one of the bigger problems in our society is Hollywood and the fact that they're just not making good family-friendly stuff anymore. And a couple of years ago, I was out in California, Lancaster, California, some dear friends, and they were telling me that they actually are raising their kids, and who are in, I guess, you know, grade school, high school. They're raising their kids by watching the old school TV shows like Andy Griffith's Show, Beverly Hillbillies, you know, the Waltons. And that got us to talking about Jerry Clower. And we understand poor Avery, our call screener, has never heard of Jerry Clower. And Avery is a good church-going Baptist. The first thing I want you to know about Jerry Clower is he was a good church-going Baptist.
Oh, okay, good.
He was a salesman. I believe some sort of an, you know, for, what did he do? He sold, it wasn't fertilizer, but things for farms, like farm equipment and things of that nature. So he was a salesman and used to tell these hilarious jokes. And one day somebody said, Jerry, you ought to put these down on an album. And Avery, that's what we used to listen to. We didn't have iTunes. We actually had vinyl albums.
Yes, sir.
You know, record players. They'd get scratched. And then it was like... So anyway, that's what he did. Jerry Clower, Yazoo City, Mississippi. And he was just this gregarious, larger-than-life guy who would literally just give you the shirt off his back. And had a cast of characters. And so we're going to play for you one of just... This is a short clip of a Jerry Clower. And I'm wondering... Any of you folks in the audience remember Jerry Clower? 844-747-8868. Let's take a listen.
I went to see Marcel Ledbetter the other day. His brother Claude was the only one in the community catching any fish. Folks was going and they wasn't catching nothing. Old Claude Ledbetter, he'd come in with a pickup truck loaded down. So the State Game and Fish Commission of Mississippi decided they'd go fishing with Claude, just see how he is catching them. Claude had told them, popped off, said, y'all don't know how to do it. Said, y'all ought to just go with me and watch me. Well, a game warden got up in the boat with him, and they took off out in the middle of the river. And the game warden said, all right, Claude, I'm going to see how you catching all these fish when can't nobody else catch none. Claude raised the lid on the boat seat and got a big long stick of dynamite. Lit the fuse on it.
Oh.
Let it go down to kind of short and drawed back and chunked it. Boom! And them big catfish come turning their belly up. Whooping it out of that water, and Claude is just getting them by the tub full. Game warden said, boy, that's against the law. You can't do that. Don't you know you breaking the law? A Claude's done lit another big stick of dynamite. Handed it to the game warden. It going, shh. Game warden took that stick of dynamite and said, you idiot, this is against the law. You can't do this. Claude said, you going to sit there and argue or fish?
Now, that's good old-fashioned humor right there, Avery.
That's good. That's good stuff. Yeah.
There are some others. It was all good, clean fun. But, you know, culturally speaking, there are some things that, you know, that, well, we just can't play some of the stuff on the radio.
Yeah.
But it's very entertaining. You know what? I'm going to send you a CD of Jerry Clower so you can be educated.
I would send him one of mine, but I think that they have fallen victim to time and might have scratches. So, Todd, you best just send him one of yours.
Well, I downloaded all mine are on iTunes.
Oh, so that's a smart move.
I used to listen to him on the subway in Brooklyn, New York, and laughing like a – well, anyway. All right, let's get to the let's get to the phones. John, Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. John, how's it going today?
It's going very good. Getting a little bit of rain down here.
Well, you know, we got a little bit of rain about an hour or so ago, but nice and sunny and humid here in Memphis.
Bet you don't have to use the airboat to go to your mailbox, so.
Well, that's a good point.
Reason I'm calling, I was a hardcore Democrat. I'm 68 years old. About 8 years ago, I lived in Michigan, raised and born there, and I just got tired of what Democrats were doing to the party. I moved down here. First thing I did was flip over to the Republicans. And I got to looking on YouTube today, and here's this Seattle councilwoman preaching about how they will not stop until they overthrow capitalism and replace it with socialism. And it's Kashama Sawant.
Hey, John.
And it got me to thinking, how did we allow this?
John, hold on a second. We actually have that audio that you're talking about. Let's let everybody in on what you're referring to. Let's listen to that that audio from that Seattle City Council person.
I have a message for Jeff Bezos and his class. If you attempt again to overturn the Amazon tax, working people will go all out in the thousands to defeat you. And we will not stop there, because you see, we are fighting for far more than this tax. We are preparing the ground for a different kind of society. And if you, Jeff Bezos, want to drive that process forward by lashing out against us in our modest demands, then so be it. Because we are coming for you and your rotten system. We are coming to dismantle this deeply oppressive, racist, sexist, violent, utterly bankrupt system of capitalism, this police state. We cannot and will not stop until we overthrow it and replace it with a world based instead on solidarity, genuine democracy, and equality, a socialist world. Thank you.
John, got to give the lady credit. At least she's being honest.
Yeah, and she kind of makes me think back to a commander in the military. We're being assaulted from all sides, and his one and only true rule of combat was, if you're surrounded, then you advance and attack. You find their weak spot and you destroy them. And this is what we need to do, both as Christians and Americans. We can't let them do this. They're in our schools. You've got Seattle telling their people that the white privilege have to go. There's no such thing. You're either human, American, or you're socialist. And, you know, this nation, these people, everyone, including me, has to stand up and fight for what we want. Because if you wait for it to be given to you, all you're going to get is corn cob in a sore place.
Oh, you know what, John? You're absolutely right there. And we are going to have to fight. And we've got to be winsome about it. And I write about this in my books. You know, we've got to be happy warriors. We cannot adapt the strategy of the left. We can't be violent. We can't be, you know, we can't do that. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. And we've got to be strategic here, because they're fighting dirty. I'll tell you that much. They're fighting dirty. John, thank you for the telephone call. Let's go to James in Little Rock, Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Hi, James. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, let old John know. Give him my phone number. Me and him will get together and have a beer and stuff. We can ponder this a little bit.
Hey, you know, James, I got to tell you that. Look, I was talking to my publisher, and I'm like, I don't care what we're doing. My next book, we're going to Little Rock. We're going to hang out. Good people in that part of the country.
And there are Memphis, too. I know. I live there, too. But anyway, my deal is the education system. I've been harping on this for years, and people don't listen to me. Back in the late 1980s, I went to Hong Kong with the Marines, and quite a few of us got our hands on a book that the Chinese had passed out to the people in Hong Kong, stating how they were going to convert them to communism from being under British rule. And this book is exactly what's going on in this country with our education system. They're going to start with the youngest kids. I mean, they've got them all the way back to kindergarten now. And they're going to do whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter what the American people think as far as their morals, values, their teaching, all this. They're going to do what they want to do anyway, and you can't touch them, because every time you say something, you have the TV going, the poor baby. That's what the teachers will say every time. But either way, we've got to stop it. If Donald Trump wants to win this next election, he can attack that. And he's going to get reelected.
Oh, look, James, what is it? I saw a poll out yesterday. What, 90% chance that he's going to get reelected? I have no doubt about that. You know, the bigger issue for me is we got to play smart. President's got to play smart. And he's got to stay laser focused on law and order and this cancel culture. Gotta do it. Hey, James, thanks for the call. Real quick, we got to take a break here, but I want to get Chuck in. I understand Chuck listening to us on KARN as well. I understand you're a truck driver.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, hope you're doing good today. What's on your mind, Chuck?
Well, I'm a staunch Trump supporter. I've got a Trump flag under my American flag in my yard. I've got Trump socks. I've got a Trump coffee cup. I go in truck stops. I get compliments. But the biggest mistake President Trump has done, he did not get rid of everybody that had anything to do with Obama. I knew that was going to come back and bite him in the butt.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right.
You know, I don't care if you're a five-star general down to a dog catcher. Obama put you in there because of his radical socialist views, and this has come back to hurt him. So he's going to get rid of them people. Get him out.
Well, I hear you, and you're right. Got to do it. Got to do it. They should have done it, and they didn't. And that's why we're still hearing stories like we talked about earlier with Kelly Shackelford from First Liberty Institute, where they're telling the sailors they can't go to church on Sunday, but they can go protest and topple a statue. I mean, that's a load of nonsense. But you're absolutely right. Chuck, hate to do this, but we got to cut this short. Folks, we got to take a quick break. Ken Blackwell from Family Research Council coming up next.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. A good friend of this program, Ken Blackwell from Family Research Council, has a terrific column that he co-authored with another good friend of this show, Bernie Carrick. Ken Blackwell, good to hear from you, sir.
My brother, it's good to be with you.
My goodness. Yes. You know, it's been a weird show, Ken. We've been talking about everything from biscuit recipes to Jerry Clower. I don't know. It's
one of those days. I got it.
It's the doldrums of summer. What are you going to do? Hey, look, this is an unbelievably well-done column up on Breitbart, talking about how Democrats have failed the black community for so long and, honestly, for too long.
Oh, absolutely, Todd. Look, the real systemic and deadly reality is that black men and women are being slaughtered in cities and communities of color around the country in numbers that can only compare to the war zones in Iraq and Syria. And every single one of those cities have been run by Democrats, and in some cases for as long as the last 40 years. And I think here's a point. When I look at the slaughter that has taken place in those cities, most of the blacks that have been killed, 95% of them have been killed by other blacks, you know. And so I think, you know, when you stop to take a hard look at this narrative that Black Lives Matter Incorporated is advancing, you can see that is just a facade, that they really don't care about black lives. And the reality that many of the mayors and police chiefs in those cities are black, and their officers are representative of the communities that they serve. And the second that a black man dies in police custody, no matter how wrongful that death is, left-leaning activists and politicians begin calling for sweeping reforms to combat the boogeyman of systemic racism in these departments, where the facts just don't bear that out.
Ken, you've got people like Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms out of Atlanta, and she's trying to address that issue that you just mentioned. Here in Memphis, our police commissioner, he brought this up just yesterday, talking about how we really got to focus on the real problem here. Are you hopeful that this is going to be addressed by and large by the black community?
I think it you know, it really must be handled there. I mean, if you just think about it, you know, recently in Chicago, 18 people were shot and killed within 24 hours. The deadliest day in the last 60 years. 175 people were shot within a 30-day period. 175 people were shot and killed within a 30-day period. 21 people were shot dead in St. Louis over a weekend, and 7 were shot and killed in Brooklyn in a matter of 10 minutes. We looked at the, Bernie and I looked at the hard numbers. Between 2015 and 2018, Baltimore averaged 330 homicides per year in a city that's just populated by 550,000 folks. Last year in 2019, there were 348 murders in Baltimore. People are tired of the killing. People are tired of the disruption. And Ty, here's the reality. I'm a former mayor. I'm a former undersecretary of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And one of the things that I understand about capital that we need to be reinvested in these communities, is that capital is a coward. Capital will not go into lawless environments. And if we're ever to turn these situations around, we must reestablish the rule of law and bring safety back to those environments if we're ever to turn it around and uplift family income.
It's an amazing column. Folks, you got to check this out at Breitbart. Ken, I'm sorry, we've got to ramp things up here. Thank you for coming on the program. Thank you for writing this piece. Folks, you got to read this. Democrats have failed the black community for too long. Ken Blackwell, Bernie Kerik, Breitbart.com. That's going to do it from us today. But folks, tomorrow, another 3 hours, Congressman Mo Brooks is here, David Horowitz. It's going to be a great day. Get out there. Have a good one, everybody.